City of Charlottesville versus Regulus Books, LLC. John A. Reif, Appellant's Counsel. Paul Sherman, Renee Flaherty, Appellee's Counsel.
Good morning, Mr. Chief Justice, and may it please the court. My name is John Reif. I, along with City Attorney Lisa Robertson, Steve Miner, and seated at co-counsel Seth Konopasek, we represent the City of Charlottesville in this challenge to the City's Business Professional Occupational License Tax, BPOL for short, its ordinance. If time permits, I'll reserve 3 minutes for rebuttal. This matter comes before the court on Regulus Books LLC's challenge to the city's BPOL ordinance resulting from the city's assessment of business license taxes. The only matter before this court is whether the city's ordinance is void for vagueness, which is how the lower court ruled as applied to Regulus. Excuse me. The lower court ruled on cross motions for summary judgment against the city on this void for vagueness claim. This matter has been briefed in detail, and while we assigned 4 assignments of error, we intend to concentrate on the first assignment of error specifically because I think that this matter can be decided on that. There will be some bleed over into the second and third assignments of error, but to the extent that we don't get to the other assignments, we would rest our arguments on our briefs. Now, I will admit that in my practice, I don't often get to swim in the constitutional jurisprudence waters very often. So, when we started this, we were looking at the presumption of constitutionality as our first assignment of error and the void for vagueness test. So I wanted to find out where the presumption of constitutionality actually came from. And, of course, it was a 1827 case, it appears, Ogden v. Saunders, where the court gives due deference to a legislative body to be able to enact its ordinances and its laws. And really, the judiciary is calling balls and strikes as to whether or not those are fit within the constitutional guardrails. The court indicated that that presumption will remain until its violation of the Constitution is proven beyond all reasonable doubt. And this court has even said that that presumption is one of the strongest known to law. And, of course, if an ordinance can be read to be constitutional, if it can be read in 2 manners, one unconstitutional, one constitutional, the siding is with that being read in a constitutional manner.
Should we address the con law issue shouldn't we first address whether the ordinance applies at all to this allegedly taxable event? Because if it doesn't apply at all to this allegedly taxable event, why worry about whether or not the ordinance is unconstitutionally broad?
Well, certainly. That takes me a little bit further than I had on into my argument, but let's walk through the ordinance and let's take a look at that and the administrative regulations that the Department of Taxation have promulgated. Just by way of groundwork, the General Assembly, when they gave localities the grant to be able to enact a business professional occupational license tax ordinance, they charged the Department of Taxation with coming up with regulations, which they did, and they carry the weight of statute. But specifically, the ordinance, the city's ordinance in question, section 14-1 reads, and I'll take some time to read this because this is important. It's hereby declared to be the intent of this chapter that in order to distribute the tax burden of the city, any business, employment, or profession located or conducted in the city, and the persons, firms, association, corporations engaged therein, and the agents thereof, shall, except as otherwise specifically provided, be subject to an annual license issuance fee and a license tax under this chapter. Now, the administrative regulation where the Department of Taxation has also opined on this is 23 VAC 10-500-30. And it states, where a Virginia locality has adopted a VPO ordinance that requires a license, every person engaged in a licensable activity at a definite place of business in such locality must apply for a license. Whether or not a particular activity is in fact subject to a license taxation depends upon the local ordinance.
Now, suppose I were to create a patentable birdhouse in my backyard and I get a patent on it, and someone wants to come and license, a manufacturer wants to come and license my patent and essentially buy or license my intellectual property. would that be a service to a customer under your ordinance?
Well, I think some of that's going to depend upon further facts to be developed. But if I may, Justice Kelsey, if I can take that hypothetical and let's move it over to the facts of this case, I think we can answer that question. An author by him or herself, by just coming up with a story, typing it up, and printing it out, and even if I have an LLC that is my holding company for my intellectual property, we could sit at our desk and we can type this up and we can print it, we can even bind it, and we can put it up on our bookshelf, and that is not a licensable activity. There's no gross receipts that are generated thereby, which would create the licensable activity. However, when my LLC negotiates for my manuscript to then be published or recreated and sold worldwide in various countries, which is what we have in this case, and in remuneration, I get continued royalties for those activities, for my licensing, my letting, my renting, my giving my intellectual property for the publishers to actually create the book and put it on store shelves and market it and sell it. That is the licensable activity. That is what we are dealing with here.
Okay, so if I'm applying that logic to my hypothetical, yeah, if I build a birdhouse, get a patent on it, and someone wants to license it, and I sell intellectual property, I'm generating a service and being compensated for the service. Doesn't that take the concept of service too far? And if it's ambiguous, shouldn't we construe it in favor of the taxpayer as opposed to the tax man?
Well, Your Honor, if we were looking at first of all, going back to the ordinance itself, it's the intent of the city council that any business that's operated within the city, unless specifically exempted, is to be taxed. So,
for which a license tax is imposed. I mean, it has a qualifier. Just because it's licensed doesn't mean it's a business that's licensed, we got to tax it. I'm sure tax people think that way, but it has a huge qualifier. You got to get your license, you better get your license, and you got to pay taxes if the license tax is imposed on what you're doing. So you get down to service, and you define the term service, and a service is labor for the benefit of a customer. Who's the customer here? The publisher?
Your Honor, there are a number of different occupations or business transactions where who is the customer and who is actually the business owner may get to be muddied. In this case, though, you have a transfer of one's intellectual property right to be able to be reproduced, and the money is for that.
What I'm trying to get your help on is that sounds like a sale to me. I just sold property. Okay, it's intellectual property. So what? I didn't sell the birdhouse. I sold the intellectual property to the birdhouse. That's not a service. That's just a sale of an asset.
Well, that gets into the classification, Your Honor, and that's how the city's ordinance, and one of the things that the lower court took issue with is that there were multiple occupations that were listed, but a locality can break out its occupations into different tax categories. But specifically to your question, from a service perspective, the city discovered this that this business had not applied for its business license through its filing of a Schedule C, which of course creates a presumption of a business under the city's BPOL ordinance. But in the filing of the Schedule C, you have to list what your business is. And you have to list where it comes in within the NAICS code, which is, of course, is developed by the Department of Labor, and this court can take judicial notice of that. And particularly, it was listed as 711510, which is independent author or independent artist, author, or performer. So technically, that falls within the service category for the city's BPOL ordinance.
Yeah, but the tail doesn't wag the dog. We're interpreting a statute, a court interpreting a statute and an ordinance, not some classification code on a tax form.
Yes, Your Honor, but this court has also said in Fallon Flores that a law is not indefinite simply because it's difficult to enforce or questions may be raised as to its applicability. Excuse me, and Your Honor, if I may take a sip of water. Apology. But, Your Honor, the court The U.S. Supreme Court has helped us in this inquiry in Village of Hoffman Estates to indicate that where we're dealing with an economic regulation, that there's the vagueness test is less strict. So that's the lens in which we are reviewing this. And also, the court...
I'll give, for all of my questions, are presupposing it's not void for vagueness. We're just trying to interpret the ordinance.
I see. And Your Honor, I think that raises a totally different matter that was not pled. That is a plain Jane assessment challenge. And it's not necessarily whether you have a, whether I am a service, whether I'm a retailer. And Justice Kelsey, in your example, if you're making a one-time sale of your intellectual property, an argument could be made that that may even have been a retail sale. There are multiple arguments that could be made, but that has to be pled. And we were here on two counts, both of them being constitutional counts against the city's ordinance. The first one, for the First Amendment, the court ruled in favor of the city and against the city on the Second Amendment, or on the second assignment of error, or second count, which was the void for vagueness. Now, I do think that we're relegated to our pleadings, and I don't think a court can really turn what is otherwise a constitutional challenge into just a standard assessment challenge. As the defendant in this case, and this court knows that a defendant has a right to know what they're going to have to defend in a court. It's not guerrilla warfare. We have to know what tree we're shooting from. So in this particular case, this was a constitutional challenge straight up, straight down, and I do think the Village of Hoffman Estates gives us the framework in which this can be decided in favor of the city, because not only are economic regulations seen with a less strict vagueness test, but also the U.S. Supreme Court went on to say that businesses who are forced to plan their activity carefully can resort to administrative reviewing the administrative regulations, or making their own inquiry to determine the applicability of an ordinance. So, in this particular case, had that inquiry been made, and certainly the Commissioner of Revenues throughout the Commonwealth are there to help anyone who doesn't know which class category they fall into. That administrative assistance that's there for the taxpayers, provide them the ability to satisfy any inquiry they have as to whether or not this ordinance actually applies to them or not, and what tax category they might fall into. So I think, point being, this ordinance simply just was not void for vagueness. And
can I ask a brief question of clarification?
Yes, Your Honor.
So as you're interpreting their pleadings, they're not saying that the ordinance is on its face inapplicable to them. They're saying, well, okay, maybe it is, but it's unconstitutional. But as I'm reading it, it sounds like what they're saying is it's an as-applied challenge, which is, if you want to read it, I don't read it that way. If you want to read it that way to tax me, then that is unconstitutional. But their predicate is it doesn't apply to them at all initially. Am I over-reading the complaint?
Well, they indicate that they can't tell whether it applies to them or not, and they specifically in their complaint, they indicated they couldn't tell because the classification of repair, personal, or business service was not defined in the Sydney ordinance. However, the Department of Taxation specifically gave it a definition in 23 VAC 10500-500 and said that we're not going to give this a specific definition because any business that is not otherwise a financial service, a professional service, or a real estate service falls within this category, and they go to list probably about 90 different
types of your theory would be we could actually answer the con law question and be done with the case without affirming or disaffirming the literal interpretation of the ordinance to this one economic event.
That's correct, Your Honor. You can, because the regulations are clear that the tax category, is broad, and it's intended to be that way. We're constrained to the words that we have. So from the perspective of the BPOL ordinance, unlike what the lower court suggests, that we should name every occupation that's out there, that's simply not possible. And if it ever were possible, or if this court were to decide that we have to name all of them, I wouldn't mind being a publisher that has to publish that book. But lastly, and I'm running into what I would like to reserve for rebuttal, but I would point out to the court that there are a number of localities that have only adopted the BPOL ordinance in those classifications under 3706 without listing any specific occupations. So if this is void for vagueness as applied in this case, all of those other ones will be as applied, and this court will probably get to see a lot more of those come up. If I may, I'll reserve the rest.
All right. You have 1 minute and 1 second.
Good morning, Mr. Chief Justice, and may it please the court. My name is Paul Sherman, local counsel for Regulus Books. I'd like to introduce my co-counsel, Renee Flaherty, who will argue this matter.
All right, thank you.
Good morning, and may it please the court. Renee Flaherty for the appellee, Regulus Books. I'd like to make a few introductory remarks, and then I'll address some specific issues from my friend's argument. Under Virginia law, taxes must be clear. And it's not clear that Regulus Books is providing a service. In fact, the circuit court below thought that it obviously wasn't. And for 7 years, Charlottesville seemed to agree, and Regulus was not taxed. Then the code didn't change, but the taxing authority's policy changed. The question in this case here is who gets to make that decision?
Can I ask you this? How do we conceptually answer the question, the void for vagueness question, of whether or not the ordinance is vague as applied to you without answering the first predicate fact, which is, and it does apply to you, but it vaguely applies to you?
The court does have to answer that question first. The court has to interpret a statute in order to determine whether it's vague. And Justice Kelsey, your interpretation of our complaint was correct. And that's essentially what the lower court said. It said, if I want to be generous and interpret this statute in a way that is comprehensible, I think it means exactly the opposite of what the city is saying. But the way that the city is interpreting it, to stretch business services to mean essentially anyone that they want to tax, that's the vagueness problem. That's unconstitutionally vague, the way
but
that they're interpreting it.
Do we have to address that question? If we were to read the ordinance and we go, well, it's not a service under Black's Law Dictionary, and you know, you got to get more specific than this to make it a service.
Certainly. The court doesn't have to address the constitutional issue. It can simply interpret the statute in any way it likes. And if the court interprets business service narrowly, the way it should be interpreted, then it obviously doesn't apply to Regulus. But if the court were to interpret it the way that the city does, then it would be unconstitutionally vague. But it's six of one, half a dozen of the other. Either way, Regulus wins.
If you, given what you said, wouldn't it make more sense if we believed that this statute was not unconstitutional to remand it to the circuit court to have it decide or interpret the statute itself?
The circuit court did interpret the statute. The ruling had two parts. First, it was that Regulus is not a service, and so the law doesn't apply to Regulus, but also that it was unconstitutionally vague. And so the lower court has already decided that issue.
So the as-applied challenge is really your, under the trial court's letter opinion, is really your fallback position, which is we read it, it's clear enough to us, and it clearly doesn't apply. But if you want to say it does apply to us, it's going into the ether with that as too vague.
That's exactly correct. To interpret this tax the way that the city is interpreting it would basically make it into an income tax. And Virginia municipalities aren't allowed to have income taxes. But if the city's position is that it basically wants to tax all non-employment income, anyone who files a Schedule C, that is just stretching a business license tax and turning it into something else. And democratic accountability is very important where taxes are concerned. People plan their entire lives around their tax liabilities. And that's why Virginia law says in the Williams case that you have to know upfront in advance both whether you're going to be taxed and how much. And so a ruling in favor of Regulus here would allow municipalities in Virginia, to the extent that it has implications for other municipalities, to re-examine their business license taxes and make sure that they're clear and that someone looking at them, like my client, like a writer, would know whether or not it applies. And right now, that's simply not the case. Now, my friend discussed deference to the legislature. And a ruling in favor of Regulus would allow the legislative intent to come through here, because now the taxing authority is the one making the decisions, but it should be the Charlottesville City Council. Now, my friend also seemed to indicate that the test for whether or not something is a business should be whether or not it has gross receipts. Now, that would expand the business license tax to being an income tax, which is not permitted under Virginia law for municipalities. And if the court has no further questions, this court should affirm the lower court.
I do have one question with regard to a point raised by opposing counsel. There is language that provides any business that is not otherwise a financial service, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, will fall into this catch-all category. Why isn't that clear enough to let Regulus know that they fall into there any business that is not a financial? So why isn't that clear enough to let them know that they fall into the catch-all?
Because it's not quite a catch-all. I think the city wants it to be a catch-all, but it actually only applies to all other business services, not all other businesses. If it was written all other businesses, this would be a different case, but it's written all other business services that aren't specifically listed, and that's why it's important to decide whether or not Regulus is a business service.
So your argument is they developed a catch-all that was too narrow to be a catch-all?
Precisely.
Are we talking about the regulation now, 23DAC, or are we talking about something else?
I believe the language is nearly identical between the regulation and the Charlottesville City Code.
Right, because it says other services, not so then the threshold question is this a service? And
correct.
You have to answer that before the catch-all, which is broad, applies, but there's that threshold question. Right?
Exactly. And I believe in the regulation it's service, and the city code it's business service.
Wasn't the only allegation you made in your complaint that the ordinance was unconstitutionally vague? You didn't make a challenge at all in your complaint concerning the applicability of the statute to you otherwise.
So the gravamen of the complaint is that the tax can't apply to Regulus. And we brought a vagueness claim, but Justice Kelsey's interpretation of our claim was correct, that we don't interpret the statute to apply, but to the extent that the city does, that's the vagueness problem. But in order to decide whether a law is unconstitutionally vague, the court has to make the attempt to interpret the law in the first place, and that's what the lower court did here.
Yeah, but you asked, your relief that you asked for is that the city's business license tax as applied to Regulus be found to violate the First Amendment of the U.S. Constitution, or two, the city's business license tax is unconstitutionally vague. Those are the two things you asked us to rule upon.
That's correct, and we asked for a refund of Regulus's taxes, but it's a
because
threshold.
Because it's unconstitutional.
Correct. But it's a threshold question that the court has to answer. How does the statute apply before it can decide whether or not it's unconstitutionally vague? And it was an issue that was actually briefed extensively below, whether or not Regulus was a business service. It was briefed both before discovery at the demurrer stage and after discovery at summary judgment.
Right. I guess the thing, it just seems like to me it's not something you challenged in your pleading.
In our pleading, we said that the tax can't be applied to Regulus. That was ultimately what our complaint said, and the relief that we were seeking was a refund, was the declaration and the refund of the taxes to Regulus.
And the court did agree with you on that point, so that's a...
That's correct.
Essentially, the court adopted your suggested threshold question followed by a vagueness determination.
Precisely. And if the court has no further questions, it should affirm the ruling of the lower court.
All right. Thank you,
Thank you,
counsel. You have 1 minute and 1 second for rebuttal.
Mr. Chief Justice, I will try to talk fast.
Okay.
The court does not need to remand this. This is a fair notice issue as to whether or not a business knows that they're going to be taxed. The very first code section that we come to says that any business that's operating, unless specifically provided, and there's only one provision that specifically provides exemptions, and that's 14-4.
I'm sorry to interrupt you, but the opening threshold premise is the taxes apply, you need a license, and you got to pay taxes for which a tax is imposed. That doesn't mean it's imposed to everybody. It's imposed as further imposed.
Your Honor, as the Department of Taxation has indicated, you as a business have to apply for the license. Now, the Commissioner of Revenue is going to assist you in determining whether or not your activity is a licensable activity. You could have an LLC that's just sitting there not doing anything, and it doesn't generate any licensable tax. So in those cases, you still have to apply for the license, and the fair notice was you're a business and you must apply. I see my time has expired.
It has.
All right, thank you for the court's time.